This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of a road. A road always has a destination. You don't very often see a road that just goes out into nowhere for absolutely no purpose. For some reason, there was a road put there by someone for some purpose, even if it is just to go to a dead end. But God has put before us a road. And that road has a destination. The road that God has put before us is called the road of salvation. It is a road that leads to His presence so that you and I and anyone else can come into the very presence of God when this life is done. In your New Testaments, the book of Romans has kind of laid out for us how we can make certain that we're on that road that leads to life. So I'm just going to ask you to jump around with me a little bit as we look at the road of salvation. So I'm going to begin by asking you to open up to the book of Romans chapter 3, the 23rd verse, and we'll see that the reason that that road is necessary is because all have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." That means you. That means me. And that means everyone else who has ever drawn breath except for Jesus Christ. Other than Jesus, we have all sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. And because of that sin is just simply open rebellion against God. And what He declares to be honorable, right, righteous and holy. And since we were victims of our own willful disobedience to God, if you can consider that victimization, but that's what we become, victims to our own unwillingness to honor God, our own unwillingness to live for Him and to serve Him the way that we're supposed to, we don't have a hope. Because you see, God as the Creator has the privilege of setting the standards. God as the Creator has the honor of making the rules. God, in His great love for us, is not willing that we not have a path to be able to get to Him. But when we're walking in faithless disobedience to God, we're wandering in the desert and we're not walking on the road that leads to life. We've all been there. Every one of us has been there. There's no sense in arguing with God about it because that 23rd verse says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." And we are a part of all. That's why the road is needed. And it's needed because when we do fall into that trap, there's a penalty that we're going to have to pay. Look with me at chapter 5, verse 12. This is how it began, this mess that we're in because of sin. Chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. You see, when Adam was created, he was created perfect in the image of God, sinless, pure, absolutely glorious, exactly how God created and intended man to be. But Adam sinned. Adam walked against what he knew God had declared. God had given him one command. Stop and think about it. One command. You can eat of everything that's here except for this one tree. You can't take anything from that tree, for the day that you eat that fruit, you'll die. Where did Adam go? To that one tree, and he ate of the fruit. A lot of people blame Eve, but Adam had received the word of God directly from God's mouth to not eat that tree. And he ate of it. You see, we can't blame Eve. Just like we can't blame our parents for the sins we've committed. And we can't blame our spouse for the sins that we've committed. We can't blame our children for the sins we've committed. We are personally responsible and accountable for the sins we commit. No one else is going to answer for us, nor are we going to answer for anyone else. When we commit sin, we wander from God. And if we remain in that situation, we will spend an eternity away from God. His creation, His rules, His standards, we need to abide by them. Because of Adam's sin, sin was passed on to everyone who would ever live because all have sinned. And now notice at chapter 6, verse 23, just the very beginning of it. For Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death. For as sin entered this world through one man, and death by sin, therefore, was passed on to everyone. Therefore, all will die. All have died. Death has been passed on because of that's what we have earned. We've all sinned. We have earned death. Death in this situation is not just the physical death that places us in the ground, but it is the spiritual death that separates us from God. That's what we've earned. For that's our wage. Separation from God. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not walking faithfully and obediently with Him, that's the situation you're in. You might be walking around breathing, but you're dead. On the inside, you're dead spiritually. But there's good news. God does not want to leave you in that kind of a condition. And so, He has given us a provision to be able to be restored, to be able to be resurrected in our soul and in our spirit, with the promise of even the resurrection of our body at some time in the future. God has promised to give us life inside and life outside. I want you to look at it. We find it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We're going to read a little bit more than verse 8. But I want you to notice this. Beginning with verse 6. Well, let's go back to verse 5. For if we have become united with him, Christ, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, and that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, the provision that God made that would not allow us or not force us to forever wander away from God, the provision that God made was that Jesus Christ came to take on the power and the penalty of sin. And when he died on the cross, he died to be able to bring life to you and I. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. That means that he is the substitute penalty so that we don't have to die eternally separated from God, but that Jesus Christ took our place that he might give us life. And he won the victory through the resurrection on that Easter Sunday morning. Christ is the provision for our life. His sacrifice sets us on the road that God wants us to be on that leads to eternal life. He created the road. And he offers you and I a straight shot. I always find that interesting. For the road is straight that leads to heaven. I don't know what you're like when you're driving. I get lost absolutely everywhere I go. I don't know how, but I remember Josh. Josh, raise your hand so everybody knows who you are. Josh hurt his eye. And he was down in Pittsburgh. You remember this, Josh? Yeah, I'll bet you do. And he was down in Pittsburgh. And I had been down to Pittsburgh many times. And so I was going to go down to the hospital to see Josh. I showed up quite a bit late. Do you know why? Because I got lost. Why? Because there's all these little turns and bends and that kind of thing in the road. There wasn't a road that led straight from Corey to the hospital that Josh was in, because I'd have taken that road. It was a couple of weeks later, I got a GPS for a gift from the Marsh family. That introduced me to life without lostness. Well, God knew that Srigliano, if he made the road to heaven crooked, that Srigliano would get lost. And so he made the road straight. And he made the path narrow, but he made it straight so that I wouldn't have to wander And he did that for you too. So that you could have a clear lane to God. And then he gave us a road map. A straight road. Think about it. A straight road, and yet he gave us a road map, and it's called the Bible. That's our GPS. The Bible will let us know where we're at any point in time. If we follow it. I have to admit to you, I've gotten lost with the GPS too. Because, you know, I get on the road and I think, well, this GPS has taken me this way. I think I can go this way and get there better. And unfortunately, it doesn't quite work that way. If I just follow the GPS, I'm all right. But you know, we somehow think that we have our own personal GPS that's going to get us through life. So we start to wander off the road. And pretty soon we're in a mess. And we're having to look up to God and say, I'm lost. I'm lost. Can you help me? I need your direction. I need your help. God helps us get back on the road. How does he do that? Number four, through confession and belief. Look with me at Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches to all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Confession and belief. The heart believes that Jesus Christ has died for him. The heart believes that Jesus Christ is God. The heart believes and places faith in the completed work of Christ between Calvary and the tomb. And the glory of the resurrection. God offers life. The heart believes that. And then the mouth must confess it. For with the mouth, confession is made and salvation is brought. You know, we have a thing around here, for those of you who are new, that are called altar calls. Happens at the close of the service, where opportunity is given for people to be able to come forward. Sometimes they're coming forward because they realize, I'm lost. I need to get on God's path and on God's road. And they come to an altar to confess their belief in Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, and to receive a GPS from God that's going to take them to glory. They get forgiveness for their sins. Sometimes people come to the altar because they're struggling with something and they just want to give that over to God and ask for his help and his guidance. Doesn't necessarily mean they're lost. It just means that they're struggling. They want to give it over. Sometimes people come to the altar because they just want to thank God for something he's done for them. But in what, regardless of what the circumstance is, Jesus said that if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And that response to the altar is a public confession. It is a declaring before men that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and He is King. And if you're coming for repentance purposes, you are declaring, I am giving God my life right now. You've got a whole bunch of brothers and sisters who are going to pray for you. Get on the road. Don't wander in the darkness of the desert. Don't wander on the crooked stuff that this world wants to pour out on you. But instead, get on the straight and narrow road that leads directly to the kingdom of God. God placed it there, and He made it straight for people like you and I so that we wouldn't have to be confused. Confession and belief. Confess with your heart that you have sinned. Confess with your heart that Jesus has died for you. And believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is God and that He rose from the dead so that He can bring you salvation. He has the authority. Confess and believe. That brings salvation. Number five, on this road then, we need to witness. Look at chapter 8. Verse 16. Chapter 8. You see, once we have responded to God, given our heart and our life to Him, then look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's what takes place. When we repent of our sins, confess with our mouths, believe with our hearts, the Holy Spirit indwells us and He brings us confidence that we are God's children. He witnesses to our heart the truth of who He is and who we need to be in Him. Folks, it's not really complicated. A straight road, but we have to do it God's way. There are no alternative routes. There aren't any detours that are going to get us to heaven. Only being on His road will give us life. If you want life, you have to do it God's way. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take your hymnals, open up to number 329. In a moment, we're going to sing this. But I told you, at the close of services, quite often we do around here what's called an altar call. There may be someone in this church today who would be willing to say, you know, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I haven't received Him. I haven't really believed on Him with my heart and confessed Him with my mouth. I haven't really repented of my sins. But I sense that God is speaking to me today and telling me I need to do that. And I want you to know, God wants you to step out of where you're at while we're singing. Come up here, kneel at this altar, and if you have physical problems, can't kneel, you can be seated in one of these pews. That's fine. But God wants you to have life. He does not want you to remain dead in sin. He wants you alive now and alive forever in His presence. So the choice is yours. He's speaking. Why don't you respond? We're going to sing. If God, we're going to sing right straight through. I'm not going to stop. If God is speaking to you, I invite you to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. I'd love to introduce you. Let's sing. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you for the fact that you have made the way of salvation just a straight road, so that we don't have to wander around and question, but we know that we get on the road and we walk straight towards glory. And Father, you have even given us an internal GPS called the Holy Spirit, who will guide us and let us know if we're starting to veer off the given path. So, Father, we just ask that you would help us to live a life that brings honor and glory to your name. And, Father, I pray for anyone in this sanctuary today who may not know you. Lord, I pray that before they pillow their head tonight, that they'll seek you. And you've promised us that we'll seek you and we'll find you when we seek with our whole heart. So, Lord, let your Spirit do his work in each of our lives. Thank you, Father, for being here with us today, for the many, many ways that you just bless us. Now, please fill us with your glory and with your hope, and we'll give you thanks and praise. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.